In verse 10, the Bible says this: whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. I guess another way to say it is what Jesus said in John 9, and verse 4. He said, work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And God made us to work. Did you know that? That's why God made us. He planted a garden. He gave the very first people a perfect environment. He gave them a job to do. And he made Adam a gardener. He planted a garden in Eden, and he put man in it to till it. Man was made to work. Even before the fall, God made man to work. And man is supposed to work. When it came to the law and that dispensation, what did he say? He said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. And the seventh is the Sabbath, and you shall do no work, for it's a day of rest. But in the law dispensation under Moses, 6 days shalt thou labor. Now, we're not under the law, but we are to fulfill the righteousness of the law, which is what? We as men are made to work. We've got to work all the time. And this is the first of the 14 lessons that really doesn't apply to everyone. This especially applies to men, because all men should work unless they're disabled. And even if they're retired, they should find something to do, especially for the Lord, as we'll see. But that doesn't mean that women don't work, because being a homemaker is unbelievably difficult work. And don't ever let anyone look down on you for being a homemaker. Some people call them housewives. I guess there's nothing wrong with that. I like the phrase homemaker better. It says, a wise woman buildeth her house. Amen? But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And there's nothing wrong with being a homemaker and staying home. Most women today don't. Most women and most married mothers with children, they work out in the workforce. And, you know, there's a lot of problems in our country, but that certainly is one. I think that's out of order, at least scripturally. The Bible says in 1 Timothy, you can write this down too, 5 and verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. And so, it talks about younger women getting married, bearing children. There's nothing wrong with that. There seems to be a mentality today that there's something wrong with having kids. The average Muslim family in America currently is producing 7 to 8 children. The current Christian family in America is currently producing 1 to 2 children. And that's... that there seems to be something there out of order. There's nothing wrong with children. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. And I know some people can have children. We have some in our church, but I'm not saying you got to have a whole bunch to be right with God, but God does want to give us children. There's nothing wrong with being a homemaker, and there's nothing wrong with that being your life's work. It's very, very, very rewarding. It can be a very rewarding thing to raise children, to raise them as arrows for the Lord, that He can shoot out somewhere and hit some target. And it says in Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 4 and 5, it says that they teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so they're described as being keepers or guards at home. The one verse says guides. This verse implies guards. And so God is counting on mothers to guide and to guard the homes, and to guide and to guard the children, and to be a homemaker and to really raise up those children in the wisdom of the Lord. And it's a very, very powerful, very, very influential position that some ladies today are not taking very seriously, and they're finding rather their self-worth and value in a paycheck or earning money or so on and so forth. And I don't know what to say in every case. Every case is different and so on, but I believe it's best to just follow God's instructions to try to set up our homes this way. We're going to notice basically what I'm saying is that most of this lesson is written to men, and we got to kind of go through it fast because our time is short. And so I can't cover all the verses, and so some of the things you got to study or you're going to, on your own, you're going to say, where did he come up with that? But I want to encourage you young people, you children, you teens, to save your money. And I really think a lot of the reason so many ladies are out in the workforce today is not so much because of the economy and stuff, but because of the consequences of so many wrong decisions that have been made financially, so much debt. A lot of that is based on covetousness. Wrong priorities, not giving, not getting with God's financial plan, and especially as children, not being taught to save. And if you children and you youth can start trying to put away every single dollar you can in the bank after you've honored the Lord in your giving, and you could have yourself a good nest egg by the time you get married and maybe get yourself, especially in this area where housing is so cheap. In Western New York, you can get yourself maybe a good house and relieve some of the pressures that are on married couples these days as soon as they get married. You might want to consider waiting on college till you're more sure of your future because so many 18-year-olds going to college, 80% of them never work one single day in the field that they've studied, but they end up with just mountains of debt on them right about at the marrying season in their life. They've got mountains of debt, and he's got mountains of debt, and then they get married, and they got to rent and pay utilities and pay car payments and insurance payments. And anybody who has ever worked in marriage counseling can tell you that the number one cause of marital problems is financial. And God's plan is different. God's plan is to save and 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 boy, if a young lady could save and a young man could save and save and save and save and not be covetous and not buy things they don't need to impress people who don't care. Just save that up and put it together, you will be farther ahead at the beginning of your race financially. And I think that I just wanted to throw that in kind of as introductory here. But boy, I'll tell you what, it's possible. I know it's not always the case, but it is possible. I know my wife and I, she hasn't worked since we've been married these 30 years next month. Amen? And the Lord's enabled us somehow to make do on one income. We live very humble means, have a very humble home, very humble cars. We're not afraid to wear used clothing and used shoes and used furniture and used appliances and so on and so forth. We've never had to have everything new. And I thank the Lord for a wife. I can't get her to spend money. I'm picking on her. She's downstairs right now. But I can't get her to spend money. I'll give her money. She won't even spend it. And she's just wonderful. In that area, and I thank God for her. But you know, Leslie and I, before we were married, we had become dedicated Christians before we were married. And we knew that there was nothing that we could ever buy that would satisfy us, and there was nothing we could buy that would impress you. So we decided we weren't going to try and buy things to satisfy ourselves or to impress other people. We'd just rather give it away. And so we've been able to tithe and give offerings and increase those offerings year by year by year in faith, promise, giving, and so on and so forth. We could buy a brand new car every 4 years and pay for it in cash if we just quit giving to missions. Man, we can just keep the old humble cars going and keep them maintained and driving around and uh, Yeah, that thing, Pastor Sestra, was it a 96 Saturn or something? I don't know what that thing is. I can't imagine how many miles that has. I like his spirit about things and Renee's spirit. Amen? And Renee stayed home, and she's got those four children, and she's a homemaker. And you can't put a price on that. So when I'm talking about working and men working, I'm not saying women aren't working. That's a long introduction. But since the Bible is the final authority in everything you will ever encounter in life, it is no surprise that it has a great deal to say about how you are to conduct yourself on your job. We spend about one-fourth of our adult life on the job, and it is essential to your growth to learn how the Lord Jesus would have you look at this area of responsibility. Some ladies do have to work today because, you know, they're divorced or their husbands are disabled. And I know some their husbands have died. I understand that stuff happens. And, you know, so a lot of this would apply to you too. But if you intend to be an effective servant of God, you must do so with all your life and not just three-fourths of it. Does that make sense? Amen. Sometimes we think as soon as we walk out of the church, now we're going to my secular job. Well, there's no such attitude scripturally. There's no such thing as a secular job scripturally or in a spiritual attitude. And this is what the first section is about. It says here, all saved people are called to full-time Christian service. I'm not the only one called to full-time Christian service here, Brother Gere and his wife or Pastor Seth, but we're all in full-time Christian service. We don't go into a different realm when we walk out of the church or we get in our car and go to work on Monday or Tuesday or whatever. No, that's still the Lord's work. Ephesians 4:1 says our vocation is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear that every saved person is an integral part of the body of Christ and that each member's contribution is important. God expects every Christian to be involved in the Lord's work. That's so true. God has something for you to do in the Lord's work inside of the church, edifying the body of Christ, outside of the church, evangelizing the lost. Plus, that job that you hold down. And so are you doing that? Have you found out what your gift is, and are you trying to use it inside of the church to edify the body of Christ for the rest of your life? Are you trying to evangelize the lost outside the church building? And, of course, your work too. Your service to God is to be at all times, not just when you go to church. And again, there's verses down here. Now, what's the primary purpose of our job? What's to support our ministry? That would include, A, ministering to our family. We were talking about men here earlier and their need to work. One of the greatest verses on that is 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. There's three times where that verse refers to the male gender. Men. His, he. If any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What a statement. Man, denied the faith is worse than an infidel. An infidel is just somebody who's completely unprincipled, has a reprobate mind and an anti-Christian spirit. And so we have a ministry to our family, and men should do that. Now, again, I know some men are disabled. That's a different story. We also have a ministry to our church family. It says as much, Galatians 6:10. Thought I knew this one. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially they which are of the household of faith. And so God gives us opportunities to do good to our brothers and sisters in the Lord through the church family. And then, see, our ministry to reach the lost. That would be in support of the church ministries and missionaries. And so we are to help those in need, and we're to help. There's a lot we're supposed to do with our money and be good stewards of it. We found that out in the last lesson. We talked about money and possessions. Let's go to page 2. Now, what should my attitude toward my job be? The first statement is very important. You should view your job as a ministry opportunity, not just a job. It is a ministry opportunity. For most Christians, your fellow workers are the greatest exposure you have to unsaved people. Unless you're the kind that goes door to door, out to the fairs or festivals or something, which is good, and we should. But your job is where you get the most exposure to unsaved people. Maybe a few people in an office that you work with for years, maybe 10 people, maybe 100, maybe in a big factory. You may be in a place where there's transient workers, people coming in and out, and you get to touch people's lives just for a short time. Maybe you go by and see a lot of customers in your place of business, and it gives you the opportunity to drop a word of testimony, to be an example. You got to be careful about this, as we'll mention here in a little bit. But maybe some of you are self-employed, and your whole business can be a great opportunity to witness for Jesus Christ. And so please look at your job as a ministry opportunity. Your life may be the only true witness of the Lord Jesus Christ they ever see. You are a light representing Christ, where the light of the world says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," not just in the church, but before men. You reflect the Bible to people. Some have said that you and I are the only Bible some people will ever read. Most people's Bibles just collect dust, but they can see the Bible read in us and the example we're setting. You'll have a much greater influence on those you spend the most time with. Although total strangers are surely an opportunity for a witness, those who can see a consistent testimony of a Christian's life are much easier to win, and we need to be a consistent testimony of a Christian. Now, you can win total strangers to Christ. You can win them by the hundreds and thousands by using a confrontational soul-winning method with a good spirit. You can win people that have never, ever, ever seeing you. And so don't fall for this idea like, you got to really live a good testimony for years and years and years and years and years and years before you can witness to somebody. No, you can go to the fair and a total stranger can come up whom God is already working on, and you can enter into other men's labors and lead that person to Christ, and they won't think a thing about your testimony. They're just listening to your words. But be a good testimony. We should witness by both our life and our lips. We've got to be a good testimony, though. We can't be hypocrites, and especially on the job. The first day you go to the job, I'm not saying get out of the pulpit when you get there, but you shouldn't be at your job for very long, but that everybody knows you're a Christian and you're a serious Christian. And you don't want to be a secret agent Christian, because you're going to be tempted. And by the way, that's another great thing, men, young men, boys, before you get married, if you can possibly keep your wife at home, it'll keep her out of the world. The world's a wicked place to put a lady nowadays, amen? It's a wicked, wicked, wicked place. A lot of temptations out there. A lot of wicked men. And boy, if they can be home and be a homemaker, that's a wonderful thing. Of course, a home can be a wicked place too if you got the TV on all day. And she might not be around wicked sinners, but if she's at home watching soap operas all day, that's just as evil. That's ungodly. So find things to do. And if you don't have kids or something, man, just serve the Lord, get in the Word, pray, go out visitation or something. But anyways, the main reason for marriage in Ephesians 5, read down through chapter verse 22 through 31, men, it's hardly ever brought out. But you read down through that text, one of the greatest texts on marriage, the main reason a man should get married to a woman is to help her become more spiritual. That's the main reason why a man should marry a wife. To help you read it. We miss it all the time. It's right in there. One of the greatest texts in the whole Bible on marriage, Ephesians 5. It's so that a man can help a wife become more spiritual. Don't go home and hit your husbands over the head with that, ladies. But men, you boys that aren't married, that's one of the things you got to be thinking about before you get married is can I help this lady? Can she become more spiritual? Can she obtain a better resurrection someday at the judgment because she married me? And you young ladies, you ought to think about that before you get married. Can this man help me get closer to my Lord? Man, that's been one of my goals for 30 years with my wife. I want her to someday have a better resurrection on Judgment Day at the seat of Jesus Christ because she married me than if she hadn't. And so I've tried to work hard. I've tried to be very, very, very wise with every penny God has ever given me so I didn't make dumb mistakes financially that cost her and get to the place where we're so despondent financially I have to say, well, you're going to have to go out and get a job. Sometimes that happens to people, or sometimes you got an unsaved husband or something and he's not living by Bible standards and these things come about. But I'll tell you, it's best. I love to see my wife be a homemaker. Of course, our kids are all grown up now in their 20s, but that was a blessing to see that work God did through her in the kids that I was so oftentimes busy doing other things. I was trying to help too. But try to be a witness on your job. Now, number four, what attitude should I have toward my supervisors and the company I work for? It says we ought to serve as if the Lord Jesus Christ is our employer. In fact, I'd like you to turn to Colossians. This is a great text because this is the text I always use to tell men that what you're doing on your job is as important as what I'm doing on my job, and God considers it as much a service to Him as He does me being a pastor. Prove that to you in the Bible. Colossians 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, not just when they're watching you, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And here it is. And whatsoever you do, do heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. So you ought to consider it the Lord your employer. I don't care where you work at Ford or the Crescent or the factory or wherever you work. You should say, you know, this person is not really my employee. I believe this is where God would have me. You got to make sure of that first. And if that is where God has you, then you should do it heartily as unto the Lord. But notice the promise in verse 24. See, we think only pastors are going to get rewarded on the judgment day. No, any faithful man. It says in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. See, you men are going to be judged for your faithfulness to your job as much as I'm going to be judged with my faithfulness to the ministry. And Pastor Seth and I aren't the only ones that are going to be rewarded for our life's work on that day. Every man is. I mean, if a man is a ditch digger for 50 years, and that is sincerely where God wanted him, and he's faithful at that, he shall receive the reward of inheritance. So it says. So your work then becomes as important to you as my work does to me. Because it's under the Lord. You don't walk out of church and say, well, now I'm going into the world of my secular job. No, you go out of the church and say, now I'm going to serve the Lord in another field that he's called me to, and that's this factory or that factory or this business or my own business or whatever. This is the Lord's work. I got to do this as unto the Lord. That's what our attitude should be. Respect the authority of their position, even if they're unsaved. Obviously, no employer will be correct in every point. And by the way, no pastor will either. And you certainly can disagree with them. However, you are to submit to their leadership, using it as an opportunity to show them a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I think the worse this world gets, the easier it should be for Christians to be a good testimony at work. Because man, there's so many lazy people nowadays. Slothful people. People that don't have character and discipline, don't know how to work hard all day long. Man, a Christian young man, or even a young lady, if she is getting an entrance level job and that's permitted by her father or something with great caution, I don't know if that's even good or not. But as a Christian, you could shoot right to the top. You could shoot right to the top because you're going to live by the Bible there. You're going to live by the Bible and be the hardest worker there. And it should be believers like Joseph that just keep zooming to the top. Did you know Joseph never worked in a job that he chose? And did you know that he never wanted to be where he was at? But the Bible says he had an excellent spirit. And he made the best out of his situation. And everything Joseph did, he zoomed right to the top. Because he was hardworking. And it says they noticed he was industrious. They noticed he was diligent. I mean, here's a Jew excelling in Egypt at everything he does. Didn't want to be there. Some men are like that. You know, they got a job. I don't like this job. I don't want to be here. Well, just remember Joseph. Amen. Just remember Joseph, he just had an excellent spirit. And I know some men are in jobs where they don't really want to be there, but just have an excellent spirit like Joseph did. And boy, Joseph just, he was the cream of the cream. And he just zoomed past the other Egyptians he was working with, and here he was at the top. He's in charge of everything. Because he had a good spirit about him. Good spirit about him. He didn't want to even live in that country. But he said, well, this is my fix, so I'm going to make the best out of it. Maybe you don't like your job. Remember Joseph. All right. Your life should reflect the Bible. You will have a much greater influence on those you spend the most time with, although total strangers are surely an opportunity for a witness. Okay, down the supervisor. Here we go. I got behind there a little bit. C, respect your company's property. It does not belong to you. Write down Luke 16:12. That's not on your notes. But respect your company's property. Luke 16:12 says this, and it's in the context of money. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Be faithful. Be careful with your employees' tools. Be careful with your employees' building. Be careful with your employees' vehicles. If you're using a company vehicle, take care of that like it was your own. And it says, if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And so be very respectful. Respect your company's time. Do hours of work for 8 hours of pay. By the way, be careful about witnessing on company time. I'm not saying don't witness, but you might want to wait till lunch breaks or before work or after work or have someone over to your house or something. But you want to be a little bit cautious about this. The Lord will give you wisdom and discernment, but you might not want to, I don't know. You got to have some discernment here. You might not want to go in on company time and start passing out tracts to everybody and witnessing to everybody, and you're not doing your work and you're distracting them from doing their work or maybe even causing a safety hazard. Somebody's working with some, you know, delicate equipment or something like that, and you're trying to talk them, distract them. Be careful about witnessing. Be a good witness with your life, and as opportunities come up, you can share the gospel. But be very, very respectful of your owner's time. I'm on page 3 now. You are to do the very best you can to help the company succeed and make your employer look good. Amen. Boy, I heard about a guy that got a job that way. He went in for his interview, and everybody said, he is asking all kinds of people, why do you want a job? Why do you want to work with him? Why do you want to work with him? I got a lot of bills to pay, and I got to get out of debt, and I want to buy this. And finally, one fellow showed up and says, I want to help you and your business succeed. And the guy didn't know what to say. He never heard such an answer. I want to help you and your business succeed. He hired him. Amen. Romans 12:11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And so we shouldn't be slothful in our business. Don't be lazy. You should be hard working. And it's got the example here of Joseph. Mind your own business and don't let someone else's laziness affect you. Don't let someone else's laziness affect you, okay? If others want to, skate and take longer breaks and sleep on the job and so on and so forth, don't you have anything to do with that. Be a good testimony and, don't try to purposely heap coals of fire on someone's head, but that's what's going to happen. You won't be the most liked person for working the hardest. But God will bless you and God will advance you. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11 that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That's Bible. They went around commanding people. Work with your own hands. Mind your own business. That's Bible. And work hard. Now there's a section here on employers and supervisors. They should treat people justly and equally. And by the way, this lesson doesn't have a whole lot in it from Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, but boy, those books are just loaded with business, wisdom about business, wisdom about employment, wisdom about how to work hard and how to handle your money correctly and save and all kinds of financial principles in the book of Proverbs, and we should be reading them over and over and over again. The book of Proverbs is a special book. Of course, it's the Word of God to everybody, but it's especially written to young men. Especially, and there's so much about working hard and being diligent and being industriousness and saving your money. The Bible says, a strong man retaineth riches in Proverbs. He doesn't wonder, where'd all my money go? A strong man retains riches. He's able to save. Money doesn't burn a hole in his pocket. He doesn't have to run out and spend it as soon as he's gets a paycheck. I remember in the Army in basic training, you get your paycheck, some of those guys, and you got paid once a month in the Army. And the next day, someone wouldn't know where it went. They had to spend the whole next month without any money. And guess what they'd be hitting up on? A employer has to say, am I consumed by my own self-interest without considering the needs of those around me? Am I trying to be a leader over too many things? Remember to consider the following points whenever a promotion or transfer opportunity presents itself. The Bible talks about faithfulness. Be sure you can handle what you have now. Realize the more responsibility you have, the more potential there is for problems to arise, more stress. Realize the more responsibilities you have, the more time and energy is demanded. Be sure your new responsibilities will not hinder your service to God. Amen. Well, there's some good advice there. Some people become what are known as workaholics. And next thing you know, they're just completely occupied with their work and they've forgotten about their families, their marriage, their church, the Lord. Workaholics. Even in a position of leadership, you should always maintain an attitude of a servant. Well, we got to go quickly. We're almost done here. What if my job conflicts with spiritual matters? I wish I had more time to go over this, but you got to be careful about this. In fact, I would encourage you to be careful before you accept a job. Try to have for yourself some standards. I know it's not possible, but boy, I tell you personally, I would try not to even work a night job. I know some men have to. We got good men in our church that do, but that's inhuman. Boy, there's actually a verse that says a man works from the rising of the sun to the going down of it. And that's good enough for me. That's not a doctrine, but boy, some of these night jobs are just, they're tough on a person physically. It's just not the way God wired us. And I would try to get a job where you could have Sundays off and make that a conviction that Sunday is the Lord's day. And in the interview process, before you take the job, make that your conviction and tell them, I'm a Christian, Sunday is the Lord's day, I want to honor the Lord on the Lord's day. And if they say, well, no, there's going to be some Sundays that you're going to have to work, then you just have to say, then I accept that this is not God's will for my life to take this job. And find another job. Something else will come up. God will honor that. And if you can get off Wednesday nights, too. I know that's not always possible either, but that'd be nice. But have yourself some convictions. Make sure none of your responsibilities are contrary to Bible principles. Refuse to lie or steal for your employer or violate other clear commandments of God. Guard against temptations on the job. Don't be influenced by sinful activities around you. I remember one guy, he asked me what he should do, and I said, what's the problem? He says, well, I work for this roofer, and he hits up all these senior citizens, and while he's interviewing them, he says he's going to send me up on the roof to check things out, and he has me pour water down, chimneys and behind flashing and so on and so forth to show these senior citizens that there's a leak there. I said, don't work for that man. Don't work for that man. That's so evil. It's doing that to a senior citizen. Boy, I wouldn't want to be in that guy's shoes on the judgment day. Hope he gets saved. Well, there's a section on handling persecution on the job. That'll come. Everyone that lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then what to consider when looking for employment. I just touched on some of those things. And boy, I'll tell you what, have some convictions. Have some convictions. I remember a fella when we were starting the church over in Evans about 26 years ago. He started coming. He got saved. I baptized. Started attending. Really on fire for the Lord. Really on fire. Started bringing his wife and his five kids to church. Really on fire for the Lord. Then all of a sudden just poof, quit. Didn't see him anymore. Went by to see him. Said, brother, how you doing? So, oh, he says, I got a job. He says, I got to work every Sunday. And I said, oh, no, you're kidding. I said, yeah. He says, there's no way you can go in and maybe request that day off and get it. No, he's got to. And I said, well, brother, you know, maybe you should just look for another job or something. God will provide for you. No, I got to keep this job. You know, God wants me to take care of my wife and my kids and this. Got this false family first doctrine in his head, you know. There's no such a thing in the Bible as family first. But he kept that job, and he's held on to that job now for almost 25 years, but I'm not at liberty just to say the things that happened to his kids along the way in his life and his wife. In his marriage. No matter what we do, we need to honor the Lord first. And he's paid a price. He still does that same job. Once in a blue moon, he'll show up at church to this day when he happens to have a day off or a vacation. Boy, what a price. The kids, he didn't make them go, he didn't make his wife go, he didn't make the kids go, and they just went off into the world and the things that just break your heart that I think could have been different by a little bit of leadership in that home. A little bit of conviction. A good spiritual standard about employment. And I think God could have honored him with a better job. Somewhere doing something. that could have helped his wife, led her to into fellowship and the kids and so on and so forth. Boy, oh boy. Well, this lesson doesn't apply to all like most of the rest of the lessons do, but we'll go on to the next one next week. We got two more to go, and I hope that something, I couldn't cover everything tonight. I couldn't cover every single situation, every what about this question. I couldn't do that, but I just tried to give you some principles here. So let's just